Not necessarily, but the thing is like this. There's no hocus pocus. You know, if before the person is born, it's already announced in Shamayim when your wedding is going to be. The date is already announced. Where you're going to get married. Who's going to be the other half. It's even announced who are going to be the animals that they're going to slaughter to serve in the meal. Everything is announced in Shamayim. You cannot make your wedding date come faster. I always give the same example. Some of you already heard it. But I lived now 17 years in New York. Everything in New York is subways. You don't have cars. People don't have cars. There's no parking even. Everything is subways. And there you go to the subway. And you see the people who go all the way to the end of the platform. And they look in the tunnel. What are you looking for? You're looking for the train? Well, if you're going to look, the train is going to come faster. The train is scheduled to come at 8:24. Sharp. Doesn't matter what you're going to do. You can look at the platform like this. 2 hours. The train is coming at the exact same time. Sit on the bench. Read your newspaper. Or do what you need to do. The train is going to come on the spot it's scheduled to come. So your other half is going to come exactly when it's supposed to come. You have control if it's going to come smooth, if it's going to be very clear when you see him, or you're going to go through 5 other dates that are going to break your heart. You have the power to control how it's going to come, not when it's going to come. You have the power to control who and how. So there's no hocus pocus of saying, oh, do A, B, and C, everything will be good. The hocus pocus, yeah, you do mitzvahs, you keep the Torah, then everything will be easy and clear. But exactly like I said before, if you let your ego drive you, then it will take you the wrong way. Because you're going to go on that date. Why? Because he looks real good. Or because he has a nice car. Or because he has already a good job. Or because you think that's the right one. The right one is the one who the most doesn't make sense to you when you look at him. That's in most cases. He doesn't come on a white horse and like look like Brad Pitt. Doesn't work like that. If you would now, somebody will show you a picture, you'll be like, that? No. That's not the one. The thing is that very few people, they find their dream man. You know why they find him? A, there's no expectations. B, they are very humble. So they don't think they deserve something so big. They see the value of the real truth. And 3, they're so good that they really deserve it. So they see the value of the important things. So when I was dating, I didn't look for Miss Universe. I didn't look at how she looks. Of course, the external look is very important. You have to be attracted to the other side. You can't be revolted. But that wasn't the main thing. The main thing is what's in the heart. Because after 20 years and 6 kids, she doesn't look the same. And after 10 years, he's going to get bald and a little bit fat and a little bit annoying. So you have to look a few steps into the future and say, who do I want to wake up next to every day? You know, I want to wake up with a good heart, with an honest man, with the right person. Now, how do I drive myself to the right person? Only if I go on the path that God wants me to go on, not what I choose. If I choose to go on, then I'll go on this path and I'll get a heartbreak because it's the wrong guy. Then I'll go on that path. I chose it. I'll get another disaster and my heart will be broken again. The thing is that first of all, what you need to do is you have to center yourself in a place that you, like I said before, you getting this abundance of blessing from God in a very clear way, not in a very unclear way. The easiest way to explain it, you're young, but in the olden days, when I was a kid, radio wasn't digital. Radio was a dial, you know? So you would turn the dial, and if you're not right on the exact frequency, you know? And when you reach the exact dial, then you hear the music the right way. This is exactly our behavior in this world. If I don't put myself on the right frequency, everything is with noise. If I put myself in the right frequency, then I don't get disoriented or distracted by everything around me. So somebody will come and tell you, you want to date this guy? No, 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 that's not the right gun. You want to date this one? No. Now the thing is that you do have to go through dating process, even in the spiritual level, there's an explanation why a person has to go through different dates. There's a reason for that, but you have to minimize it, not going on 200 dates. 3-4 is enough, sometimes 5 or 6. Sometimes you have to go on different dates to see actually, okay, that I don't want, that I don't want. But the reality is that the only thing that you can do is refine yourself, obviously in a physical and a spiritual level. Why? A, the more you refine yourself, the faster the other side will find is way closer to you. More than that, when you're sitting in the date, you're looking at the person, you know right away, it's the right one, it's not the right one. Now when you don't refine yourself, then you'll sit on a date and it will be confusing. I don't know if I like him, I don't like him, he's cute, he's not cute, he said this, he said that. The only way to know if you're sitting in front of the right one is only if you refine yourself from inside and outside, by good deeds, by Torah, by mitzvahs, by kosher. A lot of people don't put a lot of emphasis into kosher diet. Whatever you put in your mouth completely will either disorient you or completely center you. And people don't put emphasis on kosher. But when people tell me, what is the thing, the most important thing I should start with, is kosher. Why? It's not to make my life hard that I have to look for a kosher restaurant and I can't find where to eat, and every product that I want to buy I have to look if it has a certification. It's not to make my life hard. Rather, if I put something impure in my body, it makes me impure. Kabbalah explains in a nutshell that everything in this world has a godly spark in it. Whatever the Torah instructed me not to eat, it's because there's a godly spark in there that will damage me. So if the Torah tells me, don't eat this animal, it's not to make my life hard. It's because it says, in this particular animal, there's a godly spark that if you would eat it, it will damage your soul. Very simple. It's almost like a doctor will come and you'll tell him. He will tell you, don't do this. You will get sick. So the Torah is very smart and it tells you, don't eat this, don't eat this, don't eat this. And when people are very particular with the kosher diet, then they purify themselves from the inside. This is the basics of everything. It's what you put in your body. And it's not only the kosher diet, it's also the products that you eat. In this country, 90% of the products you eat is poison. It's not real products. You go to a supermarket, half of what they sell there is junk. It's not really food. It's chemicals. It's all sorts of weird things that I don't even know why people eat it. And then people put it in their body and then they don't understand why they have all sorts of weird, dysfunctional things in their body. Yeah, because you're eating all sorts of poison. I can with a clear heart say that 95% of what you find on shelves in supermarkets is poison. Poison. I don't, you know, my kid went to a party the other day. They gave him these rubber things. Who would eat it? You know, these gummy things? It's like eating a rubber band. But you know, this is the biggest poison ever. Or everything that's in it. There's not even 1 ounce of something good in it. It's pure poison. So you put all this poison in your body. Of course, a person will start becoming sick. His whole mind will be messed up. People, you know, if people depend on medicine, they don't realize that medicine failed big time. Because if it was so successful, people would not be sick. If doctors and medicine would be so good, nobody would be sick now. The more we go, the more sicker we get. So obviously the medicine and the doctors doesn't work. The problem is, why am I saying that? Because it's a very big factor in our life. You want to live a healthy life, you have to eat healthy. You don't eat healthy, it will affect your body right away, which will right away affect your mind. And if it affects your mind, it will affect your soul. Pure as that. That's why I always say kosher is the most important thing. And again, it's not to make our life hard. It's what I put in the machine. I have now a brand new car. What am I going to put milk in the gas? No! If I put now the wrong benzene, the car will stop on the spot. If I'm going to put instead of oil, I'll put milk, that's it, the whole engine is gone. So why should I put in my body something that will ruin my body? And the food becomes part of my blood. My nefesh is in the blood. Whatever I put bad into my body, right away will affect me. Why am I telling you all this? Because we don't think clear. People think that they think clear. Be particular with kosher for 1 month, I'm telling you, you're going to be a completely different person in how you see things straight. The Arizal says anything that contaminates our body in the level of unkosher messes with our mind. You don't think right. You don't see things right. You don't do the right decisions. And we think that we're basing everything on this world. But the reality is that it all depends on our nutrition. So the more you purify yourself physically and spiritually, you'll come to the date, oh, no, that's not the right guy. It's not for me. The problem with most people, they go on a date, he's cute, but he's this, and then he said that, and then he said, who needs this headache? So the thing is that there's no hocus pocus what you can do. You can just prepare yourself spiritually and not be anxious and keep looking in the tunnel. When is he coming? He's coming. He's going to come exactly at the right time. And the more you prepare yourself spiritually and mentally and physically, when he comes, oh, that's the one. I like him. That's it. We're done. Now, why some people wait and wait and wait and wait? Sometimes you kind of push it away. Sometimes a person can do a lot of bad acts, sins, he will push it away. Maybe the other one is ready and you're not ready. Sometimes a person can actually push it away. So a person needs to make sure that they're concentrating and focusing and on themselves, that they're not going to get to a point that they push it away. To make it come faster than the original date, you can't, but you can push it. So that's the problem with a lot of people. They pushed it. Either they did some bad things that in their eyes didn't seem so bad. Oh, it wasn't so bad to cheat on this guy and to cheat on that guy. Excuse me? Everything that is, let's call it prophesied or predestined in this world, in most cases cannot be come earlier, but in a lot of cases can be pushed. So, like for example, we know that bad prophecies can be annulled. If there's a bad prophecy, it can be stopped. Good prophecies you can stop. But in regards to predestined things, you can actually push something. When a person does bad things, he pushes it away. But the reality is that sometimes you also have to wait a long time. There's a reason for that. And the thing is that the only thing to do is to refine yourself spiritually, mentally, emotionally, work on yourself. And then the path, like I said before, if there's a date already decided, you're not going to make it come faster. But the path will be smooth. And I'll give you a very short story and then I'll go to your questions. But before I got married, I was in yeshiva, and our engagement became a little bit too long, so we had to separate my wife and me. So she went to Israel to learn, and I was in yeshiva in New York. And we both were broke. We didn't have a dollar to our name, and I had to pay for a wedding. Nobody came to pay for the wedding. So I didn't know what to do. Now at the time, my wife used to rent real estate apartments in the city. So she told me, why don't you take the list of customers that I have, here's all the keys, show the apartments, and you know, Bezat Hashem, you rent a few apartments and we'll have money to pay for the wedding. And I ran like a chicken without a head in the city for 6 weeks, like a meshugane. Instead of sitting and studying quietly in the yeshiva, eating normally, preparing for the wedding, spiritually, doing what I need to do, like a maniac, I was running in the cities showing apartments because I needed to pay for the wedding. Sure enough, 7 weeks, not even one deal. One deal. A week before the wedding. I don't even know how I'm going to pay for the wedding. A week before the wedding, suddenly all the money came. An uncle sent money from there. An aunt sent money from there. My mom came here. This guy gave money. Pitom, with 3 days, all the money came. Miraculously. And I was like, I could have sat down for 2 months in the yeshiva and learn and eat 3 meals a day. I would run in the city, I would barely eat, I would come home at night, 10 o'clock at night and eat pretzels. And then when I looked back, I was like, how stupid I was. What was I running? Instead of just saying, you know what, the money for the wedding will come, I just have to trust Hashem, I have to do my part, is to sit and study and learn right now, everything would be calm. So that was my lesson for my life. Sometimes you just have to do what you need to do. Let God do what He needs to do. And everything will come exactly how it has to come. And if you're going to run around, you're not going to change anything. So yes, you have to do the minimum. You have to look always nice and presentable. You go to an affair, you want to look good. You don't want to be like this schlob. And like you say, okay, Hashem is going to send me my husband. I'll never comb my hair. Whatever. I'm just saying, you have to do the minimum. You want your other half that is in a body to look at you from across the room and be like, oh, I like her. You have to do something. But this is 10%. 90% is spiritually what you do. You have to build your spiritual capacity that Hashem will drive everything, that it will come closer and closer. But more important is smoother. And you don't have to go through the whole process, another date, another date, another boyfriend, another boyfriend. Who needs this headache? Wait, she's waiting in the back very patiently. You also looking for a chatan? Baruch Hashem. Okay. For a chatan? Oh, okay. Chas v'shalom. We have here a few potential ones. I hope you're listening. This is the same thing for the men.
What's the punchline?
The punchline is you just refine yourself. She's going to come exactly when she is going to come. You have to refine yourself spiritually and mentally and emotionally, that when it's time for her to come, you recognize her right away, and there's not a lot of headache till you get there.
Can I say something? I missed the whole speech tonight because I was running around. I sat down for like 2 minutes, and that was exactly the part I heard. And that was like the takeaway I needed. Exactly that. Like, I got to do my
part. I'll show you the recording. The answer in a nutshell is that if you want to get to the point that you get exactly what you want, there's already a plan how it's going to happen. Like exactly what I said before with the GPS. You can go on the route what the GPS tells you, or you can choose your own route and be a chochmolog, a wise, you know what comes after that. And then don't complain. That's it. You just need to follow the spiritual GPS. And the GPS, Hashem will tell you, just do what you need to do, let me do what I need to do, and everything will come smooth and easy. You want to bang your head at the wall? Okay, so you'll have a little bit of a headache. Don't come complain that you have a headache. You just need to do, let me operate. Hashem tells you, let me do what I need to do, but prepare the vessel. You want me to pour you now with abundance of blessing? Prepare a vessel. It's very, very simple. You want now, I want a drink, I need a vessel. This is a small cup, this is a bigger cup. If I'm going to come now with a small cup, I can't complain I'm only getting 5 ounces. I want 7 ounces, I come with a bigger cup. If I prepare myself a good vessel, then the blessing will have where to dwell. And that's how I get exactly what I want. Wait.